Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
Just a moment. Once again, look at Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 45. I want you to see the first miracle, not the darkness in the day. Matthew chapter number 27, 45 says this. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran with a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. I want you to notice, first of all, the length of the darkness. This darkness was during the what? Day. It was not during the night, it was during the day. What an awesome thing here. But the length of this darkness was truly amazing. We're told that it was from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Stinnett Ballou said this. He said in his book, The Cross of Christ, he said, remember, Christ was on the cross for 6 hours. It is as though God let man have Christ for the first 3 hours, and then for the final 3 hours, God shut mankind out of the proceedings by bringing this supernatural darkness upon the earth. Well, I never thought about it that way, but this darkness came during the brightest of the day. We find Christ was on Calvary, on the cross for 6 hours, and the first 3 hours, amen, we see Christ and man spitting upon Christ. We see Christ and man railing upon the Lord. We see man saying despicable things, doing despicable things. However, I want to tell you something, while man had the first 3 hours, God shut them out. When the darkness came, I believe everybody got quiet, amen. Everybody got silent. Why? Because they couldn't control the heavens, amen. Can you imagine how quiet it must have got during the darkness? As God began to deal with Jesus, amen, for that last three hours on the cross of Calvary. Can you imagine how it must have felt, amen? I know this, we was down on Lake Kiawee, and my dad wanted to go down there whenever the eclipse thing took place a while back. I can't remember what year that was. But anyhow, we was down there, and they said that, you know, in South Carolina, actually, on Kiawee was one of the prime locations that you could be in whenever that eclipse thing took place during the daytime. Well, man, when that took place, I guess it was the moon or whatever it was coming from the sun, and it got dark in the middle of the daytime. Boy, you could tell. I want you to know this: it got cold. All of a sudden, man, when that sun left the rays and everything, I mean, the temperature begins to drop. Somebody said that the temperature dropped in that short amount of time. The temperature dropped 10 degrees in that short amount of time. We looked over the ridge, and whenever it got dark in the middle of the daytime, those automatic lights for the streets, those lights begin to pop on. And all of a sudden, everything gets real silent. Everything gets real quiet. Why? Because the darkness came upon us. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I want to remind you that this was a supernatural event. What a God to remind us who is in control. You talk about this. Listen, while Jesus, the Son of God, was on the cross, and while Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was bound upon the Calvary's tree, I want to remind you there's still a God in heaven that was controlling everything, amen. God was not absent. He was still on charge. Amen. He was still in full control. God saw what was going on. That darkness began to come. He demonstrates his power in our lives. You say, preacher, I'm going through a dark time right now. I want you to know this, just as Christ and just as God demonstrated his power at Calvary, God can show up in the midst of your darkness as well, amen. He's on the throne. He can take care of you. He's there for you tonight. I'm reminded how that Moses was in the middle of the Exodus there. Can you imagine being leading the children of Israel, the Red Sea crossing, all those things. And then Moses gets up to the Red Sea, and he's got an enemy charging from the back sides. And he's got this whole great number of people, and he's promised them, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go to the other side. And all of a sudden, there's nowhere to go. And all of a sudden, God, in the midst of his darkness, in the midst of a time where he didn't know what to do, God shows up and opens up the way. I also think tonight about that God knows what you're going through. You got to know this, that God wants you to trust him. He's going to take care of you. The length of the darkness was 3 hours. And one source said that the duration of the darkness emphasizes the greatness of the miracle and would get because it would get people's attention. Now, this length is interesting for me as well, and it ought to be interesting for you, because this darkness had to be a divine miracle. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, it cannot be explained by an eclipse. I asked some of the guys up in Perry Research about it, and those guys had no clue either. It cannot be explained by an eclipse. You see, space operates in patterns. We watch space. It moves, and it, you know, you can see how that space operates, and it moves, and it operates on a schedule. It's not like it just goes this way and that way. No, it operates on a schedule. So we ought to be able to take and roll back space from this time to that day, amen. And we ought to be able to see there was nothing in the calendar events. There's nothing in the calendar events of any type of eclipse or anything like that. In fact, one source said this, John G. Butler pointed out that the reason it cannot be explained as an eclipse is because the Passover season. Remember, this was during the Passover season, so they had absolutely the direct time, date, all of those things. We knew exactly what time frame this would be in. He said, which was being celebrated at this time, is always associated with a full moon. No eclipse can happen with a full moon. He says, the sun and moon are not in the right positions for an eclipse at such a time. Furthermore, an eclipse would cause darkness would only last for a few minutes, and then the moon would be passing by the sun, and the light would begin to shine increasingly after a few minutes. But in this darkness, the light did not shine for a total of 3 hours, no eclipse. This was a divine event. This was a miracle. Cannot be explained by human reasoning. Only thing we can say is God Almighty caused the 3 hours of darkness at Calvary at the specific place at a specific time. Now, I want you to know this. It wasn't not just a happenstance, but the Bible says clearly at noon to 3 o'clock in the evening. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about God has the ability. He knows what time it is. Amen. God knows exactly during the brightest time when to turn the lights off. He got man's attention, amen, while also getting our attention. Also, to add to this darkness, it's said to be, look at verse number 45 again. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness. Notice this, over all the land unto the ninth hour. This cannot be a local event. This was not a local event. It was over all the land, amen. It was not just Calvary, but it was all of the world, I believe. This darkness seems to also speak of punishment. You remember in Egypt, whenever Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go, and God sent darkness down there for 3 days. I want to read that account. You don't have to turn there. Exodus chapter number 10, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness, listen to this, which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days, they saw not one another, neither rose from any from his place for 3 days. But I want you to listen to this last part right here. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that while the darkness was over all the land, every one of those people, amen, that had Christ, that lived for God, amen, that was under the control of Moses during those days, amen, they had light within their dwellings. Can I tell you why the world looks dark today, amen? Why the world looks wicked? Why the world looks awful? Can I tell you I've got a light in my dwelling, amen, this very night, amen? Thank God. While the world may go through punishment, there's a light on the inside of me that's going to get me out of here one of these days, thank God. This darkness was sent in the form of punishment to those of Egypt. Another example was Hannah. Hannah prayed for prayer and thanksgiving for Samuel's birth, and she said in her prayer, he will keep the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. So darkness is a form of punishment. So as you look at it, the prophet Joel spoke of the day of the Lord being a time when the sun shall be turned into darkness. Joel chapter number 2, verse 31. The prophet Amos echoed the same thoughts about the judgment of the day of the Lord. When it was prophesied, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, to what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Then Zephaniah said this. He calls the day a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Darkness is associated tonight with punishment. Christ suffered the punishment of our guilt and our shame. And that darkness was a form and sign of that punishment.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app, where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.